Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fisherman Ministry South Carolina on the Eagle Radio Network. And this is our Sunday morning service. We welcome you and thank you for being here.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? Awesome. Did y'all get enough sleep last night? Yeah, I got a lot, too. Still don't feel like enough. I don't know what it is. Yeah, I'm really excited to get this string cord longer so I can move around. But praise the Lord. I had a interesting week, and I've been going through some things, but, you know, the thing, no matter what's going on, I mean, you know God's word is true, and you can count on that. And he's steadfast, and he's good, and you can count on that. No matter what it is, no matter how you feel, no matter if you feel like just a heartless son of a gun, emotionless. I mean, you can count on his grace is sufficient for you. You know, and that's the steadfastness that we need to fix our eyes on, and that we need to be about. And it's his love and his body. Because we have that example of Jesus Christ. Is this going out? Okay. We have that example of Jesus Christ. Now, he came and walked on the earth and had a ministry to his people. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He did many wonderful works. And he loved the people. He gave mercy upon mercy on those. He did not condemn the guilty, had mercy on them, forgave them of their sins, and he walked on this earth, and he came with power. And then he did the ultimate sacrifice, and he went to the cross for our sakes. Now, you know, we talk about in Luke, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. And I messed that up, but praise the Lord. But that coming after part is the body of Christ, which is the church. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church. So, with that, we're to be operating in that same notion. We're supposed to be his body, right? But imagine how awesome this will be. Because his whole body here on earth, his body is spread out. Well, there's a minister in Ghana we know about, Lawrence, preaching the truth of the word and the gospel. We got people across the United States. You got people in all kinds of, all across the country. And it can be very effective. You look at Jesus, he was one man. And remember the amount of people that would come and run after him to hear him. I'm talking thousands of people. Thousands. Remember when he fed those thousands of people, when he blessed the bread and the fish and it broke and it multiplied, and they only had what, 7 loaves, 2 fishes? And fed thousands. We are supposed to be operating under that same anointing, under that power, doing his will. And guess what? We all have a place in that. I did talk about this in a little bit in Corinthians. We all have our place in that. You know, you got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are the offices it talks about in Ephesians. In Corinthians, it talks about us needing one another. Saying, you know, if I, just because I'm the hand, I need the foot still. And we're be to come together, unified. And we have a little body right here in South Carolina. And it's important. We'll go to, I think it's 1 Peter 4. And this is just a little bit of how to be. It's scaring me, Paul. Were you really? If I can find it, and there should be no dead air, I apologize. I'm going to start bringing my laptop up here. I'm just going to bring my laptop up here, because I think I look up scriptures 20 times faster that way on online Bible. But praise the Lord. Yeah, it's real nice, especially when we do Saturday nights. But guys, remember how Jesus was. He was our perfect example. Okay? He was absolutely selfless. He was about doing the Father's will and pleasing the Father over all things. And in doing that, He laid down His life for us, and He healed many. And it was the Father's will. It was love God, love one another. He was the perfect example of doing that. Period. And it's only by that we are saved. That's it. By Jesus Christ and what He's done in what? His righteousness, not our own. But if we're going to be about His business, there's some things we need to get over. Ourself. Bingo, Lisa. And look, I had a prime example. Guys, this is for you. As much as it is for you, it is for me. You know, yesterday I had a perfect example of the Lord showing me myself was absolutely getting in the way. Absolutely. Now, praise the Lord, He showed me that. I might have walked away from that situation thinking I was right. Wasn't too long shortly after that I figured out how wrong I was. But praise the Lord, I got to see it. And I got to repent from that. And guess what? He forgave me. He did. I know it. His word says it. I believe it to be true. Do I feel like He has? No, that's not the point. His word is true. This flesh is a liar. Period. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And here we go on this theme again, having the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was about His Father's will, about loving God and loving one another, first and foremost. And guess what? We have that too. Because when we accept Jesus Christ, see, when we're born, we're cut off. There's three of us. Okay, we have the flesh, we have the soul, we have the spirit. Okay? The soul is the one that makes the decisions. You got the Father in heaven, and you got three parts of Jesus as well. You got Jesus the Son, that's the flesh. You got the Holy Spirit that makes one God. His name is Jesus Christ. Okay? And when we're born, what we have is we're cut off because of Adam disobeyed, where Adam disobeyed the Lord. He said, you shall surely die. He was cut off from that spirit. And every man out there was as well. So when we're born, we're cut off from that spirit. So it's just soul and flesh. The only thing the soul has to listen to is the flesh. Terrible existence. Trust me. Been there, still do it. It's terrible. I hate it when I do it. Can't stand it. But it happens way more often than I like to admit. But when we accept Jesus Christ, remember when He died, He died on that cross and He took that sacrifice, and when He gave up, when He died, the veil of the temple was ripped in twain. Remember when that happened? That veil of that temple, that was a separation from the soul and the flesh from the spirit. And that was type and shadow. When that ripped, that was now gone. Just as when you accept Jesus Christ, His blood links your spirit back to your soul. So you have a choice to listen to either the flesh or the spirit. And then that's where you practice the Lord part that I talked about a little bit last week, which that we sometimes really don't embrace so often like we should. But that gives us the choice. What are we going to follow? The obedience of Christ, the mind of Christ, to love God, love one another, or to love yourself, or prefer other things over Him, whatever it may be. but we have that choice. And if we're called to his body, and if we're going to be active in his body, what we need to understand is putting on that mind of Christ, and that we do have that decision to make. And look, it's up to us if we're going to be, if we want to follow after his will, or if we don't. It really comes down to that choice. So for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men's, but the lust of men, but to the will of God. Do you see that choice there? You don't have to spend your time pleasing this flesh anymore. Jesus has set you free. He has set you free to do his will and to listen to the Spirit and to do the will of the Father. And let me tell you something. When you're really doing that will, there is no greater joy. When you're doing what you're called to do in the Lord, when you're loving God and loving one another and yourself isn't there anymore, it is a joyful thing. And then you start experiencing God's love in your heart. And you know it. And it's one of the most awesome things when you're doing it. But so quickly we get off the track of that. And that flesh rears its ugly head. And then it all becomes about us. And yada, 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 yada. But praise God, we can repent. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Man, how could we go forward if that wasn't the case? We couldn't. Lord's good. You know, by one man's disobedience, by one man's disobedience, sin came into the world. By the obedience of one, sin is taken out. And that's fair. That's more than fair. That is awesome. That is so awesome. Because let me tell you, if it was each up to every single one of us individually to do it, I'm telling you what, I would have been screwed. At 3 months years old, I'm telling you. I know I was a rebellious brat when I came out of the womb. Paul is saying amen to that. Heck, I got type in shadow. Raylan. Praise the Lord, I love her. Love her anyways. The Lord loved you anyways. Amen. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excessive rite, speaking evil of you. So because you don't partake of the old lifestyle you do anymore, of the old lifestyle that you live, and you don't partake in these things and then the same excess, and you don't agree to the, you know, whatever the things of the world, I would say, the rudiments of the world or whatever you would call it. Then first of all, they think that's strange, and then they start speaking evil of you because of it. Now, did they not do that with Jesus first? They're going to do it with you as well. If you are walking in the Lord and to his will. Amen. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. Now here the instance of dead is that cutting off of the spirit. Because you just have the soul and the flesh. The way the Lord looks at dead is different than what we look as dead. We look as dead as once we die and pass on. Jesus looks as dead as, are you alive unto him or not? Are you connected back with your spirit or not? That's two different perspectives there. Shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Look, this flesh is going to die. But for this cause, we go out in the world and we preach the gospel. Because it's not just for us in here, it's for everybody else out there. And if we're to be doing the will of God, like Jesus did, Jesus spread the gospel. And he gave himself a ransom for many. And that's what we ought to be doing. And we're going to be persecuted in the world. But the fruit of the people that might come to know Christ in that, we might be hated. The one that hates you the most might be the one going coming to Christ. Then it's a joy. But if you're in the Spirit, it will be a joy. And you'll be happy to do it. Jesus went to the cross for the what? Joy that was set before him. And I keep bringing Jesus in here because that's the mind we should have. And we fall so desperately short of that. But Jesus is bigger than that. His grace is sufficient for you. And you can walk in this. He hasn't set a way that you couldn't walk in. He set you free. He gave you his love to overcome these things. But the first thing we do is just make that choice. And put this dead man down. Nail it back up on the cross. This thing's dead. Amen. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That charity is an agape love. And it's a love of choice. Now we can go to Corinthians 13 and look this up. And you guys, you don't have to do it now, but do it at home today at some point. Look up Corinthians first. I think it's 1 Corinthians 13. And it talks about charity and the nature of charity and how it suffereth longs. It envieth not. It thinketh no evil. And then we can really take a quick example and say, are we doing that? I know I'm not. But I want to be. And I'm going to start choosing to be. And when I don't, I'm going to repent and say, Lord, forgive me. And because of his fervent charity toward us, he will forgive us. But if we really want to be effective for the body, it's up to you. Because he's given you everything you need to go forward and be a soldier for him. And let me tell you, you're either going to be a soldier for Satan or some people say it's for themselves and for the flesh. That's the same difference. Or are you going to be a soldier for Jesus Christ, the Almighty, who created heaven and earth, who came off his throne and died for you? I tell you, let's serve the one that matters. Amen. And have eternal life with him and abiding in love with him. Because there's no greater joy than that. And we can have the kingdom right here. We can be practicing that right here. And let me tell you something, we ought to be. We ought to be. You think we're going to stand if we're not doing it now? Not going to happen. But the Lord is awesome. And he's given us everything we need. And I tell you, it's a joy to come up here and share this with you guys. And it's a joy to see you. And I love seeing you on Saturday nights. Brad, Thursday night hanging out with you is awesome. And I like to see what the Lord's doing for all you guys. And Gina, I don't know you that well, but I've heard stories. And that touches my heart. And it's a praise the Lord to see you come here. It really is. But with that, I'm going to let Paul have it. Hope I didn't take too long.
Just mount the thing. Hey. Hopefully it won't fall out on me like everything else here is. Well, been an interesting week, and I am concerned. I'm concerned. I have a lot of scripture to read here. So if we don't make it past the 10:59 cutoff, you'll have to get the tape to find the end of it if you're online. So it's on the website, which there's a link to if you're on actually listening on the Eagle Radio Network. Yeah, well, period. I know. I know, and we probably could. Peter is actually one of the ancillary scriptures I was going to look at. We've been talking a little bit about agreeing with the Lord. And, you know, agreement looks a whole lot of different ways than we might imagine. When Jesus gave the prayer, you know, Father, not my will, but thine. You know, if this cup can pass from me, that'd be good. But if not, not my will, but thine. That was an agreement that the Father's way was righteous and perfect. And, and you know, it is what drives whether we can be content where the Lord has called us. As scripture says, you know, as so as the Lord has called you, there remain. Don't seek if you're, you know, working in your 20th year for Amoco Chemicals, don't seek to become a garbage collector or immediately seek to become a full-time minister. There's places the Lord brings you along and grows you and that kind of thing. And we get impatient. You know, we see, well, you know, this isn't if the Lord's not righteous. It's not if he wanted to leave me be doing this kind of thing. And, you know, that's the same kind of thing that was driving the Corinthians. The Corinthians acted like they believed that Jesus had redeemed this flesh. And they walked around judging each other on the basis of who their minister had been, who had led them to the Lord. Well, I'm somebody because I'm from Apollos. Well, I'm somebody because I was from Paul. And what that is idolatry. That's again setting yourself up as a perfect thing that God has made perfect. And there's no such thing. There's no perfection here. This stuff is cursed. It's going to die. While it's here, it's an unfortunate truth that it houses our body, our soul and spirit. And it's a question at that point, what part of that is going to rule? And the Lord does not get access to rule in our lives unless we agree with him. And that his word is true and his judgments are righteous. And some of that impatience works itself out into, I was going to look at 2 Peter 3. Mockers come along, scoffers saying, everything's been as it was ever since time began. There's no difference. Nothing's happened. And 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but his longsuffering unto us were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. The amount of patience the Lord has shown in my life with me, with yours, Philip, in yours, Jeff, with you in yours, Angie, with you in yours, Brad and Lisa in yours, his patience drives us crazy sometimes. How can you put up with this for this long? And you know, you look back on it and you still have to agree with him that what he's doing in your life is righteous and needful. And it's for your good. I feel like we're running good cop, bad cop here. This message at times can be hard, but it doesn't need to be. Because this isn't bad. This isn't hurtful. This is the operation of agreeing with God and how that works out in your life. You can't get to be the Paul who says in Philippians, I've learned how to be abased and to abound.
You can't do that until you agree with him that where you are and what you're doing for him right now is okay. Not only is it okay, but it's a praise God you get the opportunity to do it. Right? So, we're singing Build Your House on the Rock. Anybody tell me right off the rip where that is in Scripture? Build Your House on the Rock.
St. Corinthians?
Nope.
Hebrews, Timothy.
Nope. Nope. It's Matthew 7. Remember that Matthew 7 with the "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's interesting. My head goes back to Matthew 6. This agreement with God becomes so much easier when you set your face like flint, as it's been said, to seek him first, his kingdom and his righteousness. All this other stuff that we spend all this time grappling after, trying to attain, trying to acquire, all this stuff will be added unto you. If you can agree with him that he has decided to give you, because he's good, everything you need to be doing what you need to be doing for him right now, that's contentment. And if you seek, you spend your time wanting to learning from him, learn to know him. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Show me thy paths. Right? If you will set your face to know him, then you not only don't get the admonition in Matthew 7 to depart from me, I never knew you, but you are building your house on the rock, as opposed to the sand. The guy with the house on the rock gets the storm the same as the guy on the sand. The question is, what's going to be the end? Is it going to be destruction because you're hard-headed and not a dialer? Or is it going to be, look, Lord, I agree with you. And we'll take the house on the rock anytime. And all that is kind of periphery stuff. I made some reference last week to checking out the opposite of the Philippians 4:12, that I know how both to be abased and to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, what he's saying here is he's instructed in all things. All things teach him how to be abased and how to abound. In everything he does. And that's what sets up the next verse, which is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nobody knows what that is unless they have walked through some of this. I know how that everything I do teaches me how to be able to allow myself to abound and be abased. That was the short version. The Second Corinthians charge in the long version. I don't know how to do this. It's a long chapter. I don't know how to do this in context without reading it.
Second Corinthians
11. So, and this may take us out of the time frame, and I'm going to keep going and then just go through it as fast as I can. Would to God ye bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's very simple. He came, shed his blood for you, because God is good. And his love passes from, and mercy and graciousness passes from generation to generation.
unlike our knowledge, our wisdom, our abilities. Sometimes those get lost for the ages, for ages and ages and ages. Remember the Dark Ages? A lot of the knowledge that had been acquired in the old world over in Egypt got lost when the library in Alexandria burned. So much knowledge never passed down that they had acquired to future generations because it wasn't written down anymore. If you could agree with God that the simplicity of the gospel, that you are not righteous in yourself, there's nothing you can do. Nothing you can bring to the Lord. There's nothing you bring to the Lord that He didn't have already, that you didn't get given. There's nothing there. That's an affront, an offense to so many people. But it's fundamental in taking agreement with Him. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. For we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. And here comes the drilling. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? That means without charge. It means he didn't take anything from them. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. When I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so will I keep myself. In other words, I'm never going to take anything from you. At least, I don't know that he never did take anything from them, but until they get their stuff in their place, themselves in a place where he can receive it. Yeah. As long as they're still in this place, they can't. The Lord can't receive it. Yeah, it's true. It would be justifying them. And that as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do. That I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that within their glory they may be found as we. In other words, getting everything they have from the Lord is going to straighten them out. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming subject to his discipline. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light into an angel of light. Therefore is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, looking the part, while spewing the venom of Satan. Looking good in the works. Whose end shall be according to their works. Destruction. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh. All right, let me show you how to do that. You people, you just don't have it. You think you got a little something, and you think that got redeemed, and you think you have the place and authority to judge me and judge the other people, other ministers to you. That's idolatry. So let me play that game with you a little bit. Let's see how you can stand. You suffer fools gladly, seeing yourself as wise, for you suffer allow. If a man bring you into bondage, If a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. And you can't stand with this. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. He died several times.
They carried him out after.
Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one, 39 lashes. Five times. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. He was in the water, treading water, for a night and a day, waiting on some deliverance.
Hope he had a piece of wood.
In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness, beside these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I am accountable before God for the care of all the churches. All right, and I looked up from that, and I lost my place. What verse was I at? 29. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. He had to agree with God that if this was what it took to get the people that were to hear his word and receive his gospel, if this is what it takes, that's okay. That's okay, and you're going to keep me alive until I'm able to do what I need to do.
He had to have that fervent charity.
That's what it is to be abased and to abound. I don't know how you can move until you can agree that it doesn't matter what is coming upon you. He took 40 lashes. He got beat. He got imprisoned. Shipwreck, stung. He was bitten by snakes. You know, at any point in that, I'm done. God certainly didn't mean for this. This is really, and you know, that's the safeness of idolatry. That's not choosing with reckless abandon that whatever Lord has me doing right now, whatever I'm on the way to do, I'm going to get there to do it. And if I get snake bit on the way, praise God, he's going to have to keep me going because I have to go here and I have to do this thing for him. And that's okay. He gets to show how great is his righteousness and his mercy and his love manifest in you every time you have to choose to agree with him. And that's all any of this is about, is proving, Timothy says, proving that the Lord is good and that the ministry he set you to do is worthy of doing. It's simply teaching people that, you know,
He's so righteous. He's so good that while you were yet his enemy, he sent his son that you may come to the knowledge and saving grace of his provision. Not because you were worth it. There was only one who was worth it. Nobody brings anything to this except need. I need you, Lord. I need you. I spent 20 years in abundance. And we're going to talk about me personally now because I'm an authority on me, mostly. On stuff that I've been absolutely without a doubt shown, I am absolutely an authority on. 20 years in abounding, right? Spiritually dead. I had plenty, though, of making some good money for 15 years ago. Making pretty good money. Family was absolutely shot. I was a piece of furniture in the house. That's all I was in. We keep moving me around to get out the way. And I had survived 5 rifts. 3 of them with Amoco. When BP took over Amoco, I survived 2. Then the 3rd one came along and I was in it. And I had to agree that was all right. Not only was that all right, but that was for my good. And it has been. And I would never have gotten to where I am had I not gone through that. At the time, it didn't feel so terribly good. And there were people telling me this was a good thing. And, you know, family was judging me for, what were you doing? What are you doing? That's okay. I was kind of like a pinball. I was just kind of bouncing around the bumpers. I had no idea what was going on. I was just trying not to cop an attitude with the Lord. And sometimes I was successful at it, and sometimes I wasn't so successful. You know, I got a job here or there for a short duration, and what I was looking at, you know, that tax year, I paid a lot of taxes. I paid more in taxes that year than I paid than I got paid in income the previous years. And as a matter of fact, I owed so much, I spent another 3 years paying the taxes. Because the severance pay was quite generous. But within 2 years, I was looking at homelessness. I had 2 mortgages on the house. I bought the house for $45,000 in 1986. It was now 2002, and the house wasn't worth a nickel more. But I had $65,000 financed on it. No more money in the quiver to keep making the 2 payments on that. And God knows, probably another $10,000 a month in credit cards. When the family left, they left me holding the bag. So, I actually banged around for the next couple of years homeless. And, you know, you don't quite get the point until you actually ever look back on it, but that was the Lord's grace on me.
He didn't let you go homeless.
No, but when I had the house, I had a home. No house, I'm banging around in other people's places. And, you know, really, that's the definition. That's homeless. Now, there was many people that made provision for me, and, you know, praise God for them. I had to learn. I had to eat a lot of pride and all that, and I had to seek the Lord. And I didn't see how any of this was good for me. Looking back in 2020 vision, his provision for me was total, complete, and full. And in all of that, I had to agree, Lord, that this was still for my benefit. All of this was for me to learn to seek him, and then to show others how to seek him. It was to step out of myself and into his ministry. So, you know, 5 years at Walmart. How long was it at Walmart? Something like that. And 2 years of doing this, and the Lord showed me a few things, about myself, showed me a few things about what He requires from His ministers, showed me a few things about those over me and the anointing that they carry. And He has brought back so much of what was knocked down. I now own 12 acres. My mother's with Him. I got 12 acres and 2 houses. And a car. More than I ever had before. What I had before, I had financed. It wasn't mine. And it's not because I did anything right. I blew everything off and messed everything up every time the first time. Because I'm stupid. But He is good. And He kept dragging me through as I needed to go. And loving me in the midst with His patience and long-suffering. And any mocker could come up and say, nothing's changed, but you're still batting around. You're staying on your mother's place. You got nothing. You're living with your mother. The dates. You're looking for a date. That's the worst testimony. He lives with his mother. Yeah, that's all. That was me. Now, she's living with the Lord, and I'm living with the stuff she had, because the Lord's good to me. Amen. Right?
Right.
And the Lord can show Himself to anybody. Now, I'm not special. Anybody who will hopefully not be as thick as I was about it, but who will agree with Him that His ways are perfect and He is righteous. And wherever I am in that picture right now, He's righteous to have me there. Man, show me Thy ways. Let me learn what I need to be doing to please You, that for which I was created. I know the time's running out. Lord, get do some business with the Lord and agree with Him that His ways are righteous. And His judgments are pure and perfect. And stand in that perfection. Walk after the Spirit and not in the condemnation and judgment of the flesh. It's condemned, it's going to die.